Matthew 2:13-23. After they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he was sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because there are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene.
Please be seated. Please pray with me. Most holy God, may the words you have given me to speak and all of the meditations of our hearts be acceptable worship. O God, you are our strength and our redeemer, our rock and our refuge. Amen. I begin with a question for you this morning. Which of the two gospel birth stories of Jesus are found in your nativity set or on the Christmas cards you sent or received? Is it Luke's story or is it Matthew's story? If you were here at 4 o'clock on Christmas Eve, you heard and witnessed Luke's story of the birth of the Savior. Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus, angels, shepherds, sheep, cattle. However, the wise men were extra added to the cast. The Magi do not appear in Luke's gospel. No kings there. How does Matthew tell the story? As you have heard in the account of the birth of Jesus from Matthew, I want you to listen to it again. Listen for what is missing in Matthew's wildly divergent story. It's the lectionary gospel reading for the first Sunday after Christmas, and I will be sharing from the Common English Bible. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea, during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen him in the star in the east, and we've come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and the legal experts and asked them where the Christ was to be born. And they said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are you least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people Israel." And then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you've found him, report to me so that I too may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went. And look, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. And falling to their knees, they honored him. Then they opened their treasure chests and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route. When the Magi had departed, an angel from the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, as we just heard. Get up, take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, or Herod will soon search for the child in order to kill him. Joseph got up and during the night took the child and his mother to Egypt and stayed there until Herod died. That fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. I have called my son out of Egypt. And when Herod knew the Magi had fooled him, he grew very angry. He sent soldiers to kill all the children in Bethlehem and in all the surrounding territory who were 2 years old and younger, according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. This fulfilled the word spoken through Jeremiah the prophet. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and much grieving, Rachel weeping for her children, and she did not want to be comforted because they were no more. After King Herod died, an angel from the Lord appeared in a dream, again to Joseph in Egypt. Get up! Take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. Those who were trying to kill the child are dead. Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus ruled over Judea in the place of his father Herod, Joseph was afraid to go there. And having been warned in a dream, he went to the area of Galilee, settled in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, what is missing in Matthew's nativity? No manger, no stable, no shepherd, no lowing cattle, just Mary, Joseph, the baby, a star, and four kings. Herod, the king, too mean and too nasty to appear in Luke's holy night and pretty much every Christmas pageant, is in Matthew's story. We find him here in Matthew's infancy narrative as we learn that visitors from the east came to the court of the king, King Herod, asking where they might find the child, the one born king of the Jews. Herod, of course, was the real live king of the Jews at that time. Herod was frightened, as was everyone else, Matthew says. Well, there was intelligence to be gathered. Intelligence from Herod's scribes, the chief priests. So he called them together. And they told him of the prophecy from Scripture. Bethlehem in Judea is where you will find the child. Herod didn't know his scripture very well. Enlisting the foreigners as spies, he falsely states that the information that he gathers will lead him to eventually worship the king. And so they're sent to Bethlehem. And this part of the story, we find our hearts warmed as we hear that these three stages sages, these men of great stature, kneel. They kneel before the baby and offer their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. A happy ending to the story for sure, if it weren't for the fourth king. Go and search diligently for the child. Bring the word. Bring it to me where you have found him so that I may go and worship him as well. What a sham. Hypocrisy. There was no intent to worship. There was only intent to kill. And that's the downside of the Christmas story. A downside generated by human greed. Human greed for power and wealth and control. Human sinfulness. And Herod realized that his instructions to inform him of the baby's whereabouts had been disregarded. He flew into a rage and ordered all the baby boys, ages 2 and under, to be killed. Now, we don't know exactly when the visitors from the east stopped by the palace to pay a courtesy call, but it was probably during the last very turbulent year of Herod's life, the year that he killed his third son. So can any of us doubt then that this man was capable of dispatching soldiers to kill infants and toddlers throughout the land? But what we know is that Jesus escaped that fate because his earthly father listened to an angel. Listened to an angel that came to him in a dream. Jesus and his parents became refugees in Egypt, initiated by a dream, and Joseph listened. In a second dream, while Joseph and his family were safe in Egypt, an angel of the Lord appeared again in a dream, telling Jesus, "It's safe now. It's safe to take your family back to Israel. Herod has died, though not before wreaking havoc on Joseph's former neighbors." But there was a third dream. Joseph is informed that his familiar part of Israel is not safe after all. Another of Herod's sons is in charge and apparently more ruthless than his father had been. But the Savior is again safe. Saved to fulfill what had been spoken by the prophets in the first covenant, what we call the Old Testament. From you, Bethlehem, shall come a ruler to shepherd my people Israel. Now, Luke has been writing to a Gentile population. Matthew is writing to the Jewish Christians, and he clearly wants us to understand that the birth of Jesus was not simply the joyous arrival of a newborn. It was something of which God's Spirit had been telling God's people all along. Something planned from the beginning. From the very beginning. So what is the takeaway? Should we reserve a role or a figurine for Herod in next year's nativity scene? Or Christmas pageant? It's a rhetorical question. Herod does not belong in that setting. But that doesn't mean we should forget about him entirely. Herod is important to the Christmas story. Important because he helps us remember what kind of world we live in. Why this world, our world, still needs a Savior. Jesus did not come into the world to bring us an early winter festival of peace and contentment. He wasn't born into a placid Christmas card scene, but rather into the sort of world where families wander homeless and corrupt tyrants rule, where hate crimes abound, where there is immense fear generated of the other. There's murder, the deceit. And Jesus came into the world as Savior. As for us, his Christmas-weary disciples, well, we have a role. We have a role in carrying out his mission. We have been given spiritual gifts: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the gifts of the Spirit that we have been given, given to use. Perhaps it's your custom to begin dismantling Christmas decorations by now, even though this is the fifth day of the 12 days of Christmas. But maybe it's time to take them down, store them until next year's season comes around. But Matthew's account of the Holy Family's journey would have us keep some of the nativity in our homes just a little while longer, maybe even all year. We could put away the shepherds from Luke. He says they were returning to their fields and their flocks. And the Magi, from Matthew's account, returned home, avoiding Herod. But how about if we keep Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, just the three of them, alone? No visitors, no stable, no cuddly-looking sheep, no friendly oxen, just Mary, Joseph, and the baby. Thomas Traeger, who is a preaching professor at Iliff School of Theology, offers this scenario. Move the Holy Family to a different location in your home, perhaps to a window looking out at the larger world, that world where there is still violence and repression and terror, where there are refugees fleeing, needing protection, humans in whom the Savior is crying out to us for protection, to work with him in the world. Traeger continues, after reviewing Joseph's dreams, imagine another dream Joseph could have about Jesus. The dream of a world where instead of having to flee, the refugee family would find itself at last welcome, find itself secure, safe. Imagine what the Christmas carols would sound like if we brought that dream to life, to reality. If we helped to create a world in which baby Jesus would never again be refugee Jesus. A refugee Jesus. Never again. May it be so. May it be so. I invite you to stand now as we sing That Boy, Child of Mary.